Friday the 13th of April, Rabbi Ben Tzion White, Ach Mayon, Mikvei Mayim, Overview of Hilchos Mikvaos.
In this week's Sefer Parsha Shmini, the Pesuk says, Ach Mayon Yiboyim Mikvei Mayim Yetoy. Only a spring and a pit of gathered water will be toy. The Pesuk is saying that in order to provide tahara, to be metaher, there's two choices: either to use a spring, or to use a collection of rainwater. Now, there are two types of water as far as the mikvah is concerned. There can be water that comes from an underground source, that's mayon, that we'll soon see can be flowing, because the very nature of an underground source is that it flows, and a collection of rainwater, which we call mikveh, must be stationary. And this is based on a Tayyus Kahanim on this pusuk. It's a braisa. The braisa asks, Yochel kishem shemayon metaha bezoichlin. Just as a mayon can be metaha when it flows, kach mikveh metaha bezoichlin. A mikveh can also be metaha when it flows. I would have thought so. So the pusuk says, ach mayon, only mayon. Mayon is different. Mayon is metaha even though it flows, whereas a mikveh must be ba'ashboyerin. It must be collected and stationary as a pool without flowing. There are various other differences between a mayon and a boyer mikveh mayon. One of the differences is that as far as tefillah kelim is concerned, a mayon does not need to have 40 saw. That's the kula alma. It does not need to have 40 saw. It can have less than 40 saw. However, a mikveh must have 40 saw. The question is whether the bnei odom, a mayon, needs 40 saw or not. The mechaber pasuk like shittas atosus that and his machmer that even a mayon needs 40 saw the bnei odom. But it's clear that a mikveh certainly needs 40 saw. The shear of 40 saw, the modern equivalent, depends of course on the machlokes as to how we have the measurements, and it ranges from a lechatchila of roughly 650 liters to a lechatchila of roughly 950 liters. The practice is, I understand, that the modern mikvahs that are built have got ample collection of water that ranges between 1,000 liters and 1,200 liters to make absolutely sure that the mikvah is covered lechol hadayis. An important difference between mine. Sorry? A mikveh tefillas kelim must have 40 saw.
What is 40 saw?
Well, I think they make it about 950 to 1,000 liters for tefillas kelim. An important difference between mine and a mikveh is the din of shloisha lugim mine. Shuvim, and that's a very important din. Mayim shuvim means that water, even if it started off as rainwater, if that water was collected in any type of vessel, then that water is posel l'tfila. It becomes mayim shuvim, drawn water. Now, if you have got a situation where before the mikveh was completed, and you've only managed to gather 39 saw, and you're still waiting for rainfall for the final saw, so the mikveh is incomplete, and then someone throws in an amount of shloisha lugin from a bucket, and it's not a large amount, it's slightly under a litre, then no matter how much rainwater you add to that mikveh will always be pusul, because before the 40 saw was complete, it had shloisha lugin mayim shuvim added to it. That does not apply to a mayan. A mayan, a spring, does not become pusul with shloisha lugin mayim shuvim. Now, there is a great debate starting off in the Gemara itself and ending up with the Poskim as to the status of a river. And this is based on an apparent contradiction where one Gemara quotes Shmuel as saying that a river, one has to ascertain as to whether the river is based on rainwater or on underground spring water. And another Gemara says that Shmuel says that every river is Nahare Mekippe Mezborach, every river is fed by an underground source. So because the matzav is not clear, there's a machlokes rishonim of how to look at a river, and it's discussed in the Mechaber and the Ramor. The Ramor brings that there were communities that, because they were far from Jewish centers, they had to b'shas hadchak use a river. Nowadays, anybody who wants to improvise and use a river or a lake or even the sea, which is also not straightforward, would first have to, as far as Tfilas Noshim is concerned, Akaponim, would have to discuss this with a Moiru who is familiar with halachas. Now, we said that a mikveh is posel bezoichlin. If the mikveh is flowing and not stationary, it's posel. Now, flowing does not mean that there's a great torrent of water overflowing out of the mikveh. Even as a chila, a small leak can also puff of the mikveh. Now, l'chol hadayis, if the leak, however small, is a zechila hanikeres, one can discern, one can recognize and identify the leak, then the mikveh is possible. There is, however, a machlokes, what the din is, if it's a zechila she'en in the keres. It's losing water, but you can't see it losing water, because the amount is so minute. So, for instance, in order to be able to identify the chilah shein in the keres, you'd have to mark off the level of the water and then return 24 hours or so later and see whether the level has changed. The poskim understand that the shittas hagro is that even a chilah shein in the keres is also possible. And Chaim Britzker, the Britzker Rov, Chaim Soloveitchik, was very machmir in this, that a chilah shein in the keres is possible, and he very often advised mikvois, where possible, to be built on an upper story so that it should be able to be recognizable from underneath that there's a problem with the leakage from the mikveh. Nowadays, mikvehs are very regularly checked to make sure that there isn't even a chilah shein in the keres. Baruch Hashem, the technology has worked in our favor, and nowadays we do not have so many problems with tefillah, because since we can pour cement for the foundations and the walls, and if it's done properly in one hit, that means it's not done twice, that there should be a gap in between, but it's all done mo'ir echad, as it were, there is very little chance that there should be any leakage. The problem is that if you get a zechila she'en in the keres, it can develop obviously to a zechila ha'nekeres, which would then be possible with chavadeis. Now, zechila plays a role in the consideration about filters. There's a very big machlokes whether filters can be used in a mikveh l'tefillas noshim, and it's a rather very machmer on this. In America, they're more makel. The question is that because of the nature of the filter, there may be water that's running out of the mikveh all the time. The fact is that it can also be returning to the mikveh, which goes to its favor, because that is a zechila that comes back in again. But it's a very big machlokes. And as I said in Eretz Yisrael, there's so machmer that the Moshe Sternbach writes in a tshuva that he would not allow a filter to be used even in a mikveh legvorim, because the tendency is that people use a mikveh for kelim as well. If there's no specified kelim mikveh, they use the mikveh itself. And since we paskin that a mikveh lekelim must be on the same standard as a mikveh noshim, he's worried that people will use the mikveh for kelim, and they could even use it when the filter is switched on, which would be a serious shaila in the tefillas kelim. Now, there is a din, and this is a yisodistik din, and nearly all the mikvehs in the world use this halucha lemaisa, and this is the halucha of hamshocha. Hamshocha means that since water that has been inside any type of vessel is possible l'tfila, however, if the water is allowed to run three tfuchim along ground, which is roi l'vloya, it's a type of ground, it's a base that could absorb the water, so the mushul, if that ground would be covered in a plastic sheet, it wouldn't be roi l'vloya, but cement is accepted today that it is called roi l'vloya. So if it runs a distance of 3 tfuchim, 9 to 12 inches, and then it runs into the boya, that has been metaher, it has removed the psul of shuvin min hatoira. Midrabonon it's called possible. However, according to many rishonim, hamshucha achieves that the psul, the raisa of the maim shuvin has been removed. The water in the mikveh enters through two ways. There's rainwater and there's also tap water. The tap water that comes from the ordinary tap is accepted by the Chol HaDeis that this tap water is man she'uvin. It goes through filtering, it goes through metering, and there are no doubt vessels on the way. So that water is posel min ha-Torah l'tfilah. So just to make absolutely sure that any psul d'oraisa is removed, the water, the tap, is not inside the mikveh, but the tap, the tefilas noshim, is sited a foot or so away from the mikveh, so that the water runs across the cement floor and then falls into the mikveh. So at least one is sure that the psul shi'uvin d'oraisa has been removed. Now, as far as the rainwater is concerned, in the old days, the rainwater used to be collected on the roof and used to come down in specially constructed pipes that had no chashash that there were that there was any stoppage on the way that could possibly collect water, so there was no shalva that it was a keli. Elbows were not allowed because the apostle will hold their elbow has got a din of a keli as it goes down and it turns the corner. And then it went into the boyer running along first along the ground to achieve hamshucha. Nowadays, in the purpose-built mikvahs, this is no longer the case. The Moshe, the magnificent mikvah that lives down the road in Gold's Green Crescent, the roof slopes to the middle, and the middle of the building is missing. It's open all the way down to the ground. Through the central core is missing of the building, and the water goes straight from the roof into the building itself, with no pipes, no elbows, nothing at all. There's nothing, there's no shower of any possible kli kibble on the way, and it goes straight down into the bolus. There are two ways of making the tap water that's in the mikveh. The heated tap water that's in the mikveh now needs to be made kosher l'tfilah. And there's two ways of achieving this. One is called zriya, and one is called hashukah. We'll start off with hashukah, because that's one that people are more familiar with. Hashukah means contact. So what happens is that alongside the mikveh where the person tovels, there is, and not always does one see it, because there's usually a dividing wall that hides it, but there is on the other side of the wall of the mikveh, there is another pit, a rainwater pit, that has been constructed out of cement, so that there should be no shalah poured, there should be no shalah at all, that there's any clay kibble in it. And the water rises once you achieve the aboim sur, and well after the aboim sur level, there is a hole in the wall, which goes through the wall and meets the water in the tap water on the other side. That is called Hashukah. Chazal referred to it as Shefeferes Hanoid, the opening of a container, the top of a container. The shear is that you should be able to put in two fingers and turn them round comfortably. The Meister, that's considered to be somewhere between 1.5 and 3 inches. So the tap water meets the rainwater. That's Hashukah, that's the contact. And the rainwater turns the tap water into mayim, which is roi l'tvila. Now, there is a yisodistik and machloikis in this hashukah, how it works, between the rishonim. The Rosh learns that this hashukah is a once-only necessity. Once the waters meet, you can then put a plug in the hole, and that water, because it has met, has been hashukah with the Megi Shumim, that water is now kosher l'tfila. The Rebbeinu Yeruchim does not learn like that. The Rebbeinu Yeruchim learns that the water is kosher l'tfila as long as there's contact between the two. If you close it off, it's not kosher l'tfila. You open it up again, then you can tovel. The Mechaber does not pasken like the Rebbeinu Yeruchim. It's a Daos Yuchid, and a Chab doesn't pass on like that. However, the Shach says, and it brings a Tshuvah Tashbats, that in Mikveh, we are Machmer to satisfy even a Daos Yuchid. So therefore, the Mikvehs in the world are very wary of this, and the hole between the rainwater and the Mikveh tap water is left open during Tefillah. In order to satisfy Shittas Rabbeinu Yeruchim, that there must be contact during tefillah as well. This, however, leads to a problem. And the Dibur Chaim, his sons, today, his Yotzai, Chesirein, Rokal Yisroel, points this out and was very concerned about this problem. This problem is based on a shitter which is machmer on Notel Sor v'Notel Sor means if you've got a collection of rainwater, you've got your 40 sor, of course you're a mikveh, and someone goes and takes a bucket and takes out a sor of rainwater, as soon as it's entered the bucket, that rainwater is now mine, shulgen spusel tefillah, and then he throws it back in again. So he's removed one sor and he's put in a sor of man shuvim. Now, if you do that enough times, eventually you're going to have less than a majority of the original rainwater in it. So it'll all become the man shuvim. And the Rambam and the Ravid hold that once you've lost your original rov, the original majority of man shuvim, you haven't of my megishumim, you haven't got 20 sor plus of megishumim, the mikveh is pusul. The Rambam L'Choyra learned it's a psul d'rabbonon, and the Ravid learned it's a psul d'raisa. So if you ever see this written up, you'll see it's called Shittas HaRavid, because the Ravid calls it psul d'raisa, which of course is very severe. Now, according to the Shach, that we have to be machmer tadas yuchid by mikveh, we need to be machmer for this Rabbeinu, for this Ravid, that we should not cause the rainwater to fall below the majority of rainwater inside the boil. The problem is that while, when one toivels and moves up and down, that causes ripples and waves. And the ripples and waves, because the hole is open, in order to satisfy the Ben Yeruchim Shitta, that the hole must be open to provide contact all the time, the water moves along and moves into the boil and washes back out again. And after a period of time, you're going to lose your majority of 20 plus sor of rainwater in the boil. The Chazon Ish was very, very concerned about this, and he made a cheshbon that this can happen l'chayla even after 24 tefillos, because if the height, for instance, of the level of the rainwater is 1200 millimeters, and the hole is, for example, 5 millimetres, so you've got 5 millimetres possible of water, that height, coming in to the 1200. So if you do it 24 times, you could theoretically have changed the whole rainwater into the tap water through the ripple effect that comes through the connection. And because of this, and perhaps other reasons as well, which we'll soon see, the Chazon Ish did not hold that one should use this system for making the mikveh kosher. The other problems that are associated, possible problems with Hashoka, is that one has to rely very much on the caretaker of the mikveh, because the Rav himself is not going to come on a daily basis to examine the mikveh, and it's the caretaker who looks after the mikveh. Now, when you empty the water and you refill the water again, the tap water, if you haven't made sure that it's risen to the level of the hole, then you've got pusul mayim shuvim in the mikveh. And you may notice that many mikvehs have got two colors of tiles to make it more obvious where the level of the water ought to be, that there should be the contact between the two waters. The other problem is that when you change the mikveh water, you don't want to lose the rainwater, so you put a stopper in the hole. The rainwater shouldn't come out. Then you have to remember to remove that stopper, because otherwise you've got a problem, and you've also got a problem later on if you remove it and put it back again, then you've got a problem that you haven't satisfied the Ben Yeruchim if the stopper is in the Shav Tzvila. So there are drawbacks to Hashukah, but Hashukah needs careful monitoring. The other system is called Zriya. Zriya is based on a Mishnah in Masechet Mitzvot. The Mishnah talks there about two boilers that were on a mountainside. There was a lower boiler that was in the village, and then there was a higher boiler that was higher up the mountain. As luck would have it, the one in the village was empty, and the one up in the mountain had the rainwater in it, and the townsfolk didn't want to schlep up the mountain to get to the mikveh. So the Mishnah says that what you do is, once the one on the top has got the 40 sor of rainwater, so that is now a kosher mikveh, you take buckets of water and you throw the buckets of water onto that, into that pit that's got the 40 sor, the level will rise, the waters will run down the hillside and fill the lower pit. Now, it's filling the lower pit with buckets of drawn water. Why is that kosher? It's kosher because of the concept of Zriya. It has literally been sown. The May Sheuven from the buckets has been sown inside the body of the 40 saw. And once it has come into contact with the 40 saw and run down the hill, and then runs down the hill, that water, even though it may well be the tap water that's running down the hill, it's become kosher because of the Zriya inside the mikveh, inside the Boer Geshumen. The modern equivalent of that is that a mikveh that's based on Hashuk, on Zriya, would have the mikveh along the Boer alongside, as in the former case. However, the setup is totally different. Here, when the water comes down from the roof and runs the three tefachim into the Boer, that water is allowed to rise to get to 40 saw, then you close it off. Then tap water is released into the Mei Geshumen itself. That tap water causes the mikveh to overflow the intercommunicating wall from the boyer through the wall into the mikveh, and that tap water that has been sown, the Zriya, in the Mei Geshumen, then becomes the Mei mikveh. And then on top of that, hot water is added in order to make the mikveh warm. The attraction is that l'chayre, one could argue that there isn't the problem of nuchal saw, the northern saw, because there is no further contact between the two. It overflows and that's it. However, if you think about it, there's a very fundamental difference between the two systems. And I'll illustrate it with the following example. There was a time when in order to enter the mikveh, you had to use some sort of a plug and a drainage system. Now that was fraught with problems, because once you've got any type of drainage system within the mikveh, you can theoretically have a leak, which of course is something that you don't want. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, it's no longer necessary to have any type of drainage within the mikveh, because all you do is you put in a submersible pump, and you empty the mikveh as you put a swimming pool using a pump. Now, anybody who's tried to empty a pool with a submersible pump will know that the pump does not fully empty the pool. There's going to be a residue of water left at the bottom. Now, this residue of water is not the original water that was there. It's the backwash that comes, that's gone into the pump and come back out again. And that is Mayim She'uvin. Now, that bit of water that's been left at the bottom of the mikveh, if you are using the system of Hashukah, it doesn't really matter. Because even if the caretaker has not dried the mikveh properly, and there's three lugin of Mayim Psulim, which is not a great deal of water, because in the space of a mikveh, if you'd spill a liter bottle of water, it wouldn't be a high level. You just get a bit of water at the bottom, that's all it is. So if that hasn't been dried, you've got Gimel Lugin Mayim She'uvin at the bottom of this mikveh. That means that you've got a potential problem. Because if you're going to add your 40 saw after that, it's bad news, because you can't be mashir the mikveh if you've got gimel lugin before the mikveh's been completed. Now, in the case of Hashukah, it doesn't really matter, because I'm putting in tap water on top of this mayim psulim anyway. So the mayim I'm putting in is also pusul. When it's all filled to the necessary height, it's going to meet and there'll be Hashukah, and that will be mashir everything, and all the problems that are within this mikveh will become kosher. However, in the case of Zriya, it's not like that at all, because the water that has gone through the Zriya and is now overflowing the interconnecting wall into the mikveh, that water is kosher water. It's not going to be made kosher anymore. It's a once-only kosher water that now falls into the mikveh, and that should be the water that's ready for tefillah. If, preceding that, the three lugin had been left at the bottom, had not been removed, then this water that's now coming from Zriya is not going to be kosher l'tfila, because there were three lugin before the 40 saw. So there's a potential problem with Zriya as well. Now, there were various menhugim. In Poland, for instance, the mikvahs were largely based on Hashukah. In Hungary, they were, because of Chassam Sofer was a strong advocate of Zriya, the mikvahs in the main cities were built based on Zriya. The Moshe Sternbuch writes that it's clear that nowadays most of the new mikvahs that have been built have got both. The central boyer has got on either side, on one side it's flanked with a Boya Zariah and one side with a Boya Hashukah. And Ramosh Nemeth says that since after the war, the Sheiris HaPleta who came and built new communities and then all mixed together, each one wanted to have the tradition that he was used to. So therefore, in order to satisfy everybody, it became the minig to have both types of Zariah and Hashukah. In the early days of the development of Bnei Barak, there was a vigorous difference of opinion between the Chazon Ish Zichrono Livracha and the then Rebbe of Bnei Barak, Rav Yaakov Lander Zichrono Livracha. Rav Yaakov Lander was Rebbe of Bnei Barak for 40 years. He was a Talmud of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's known as the Rebbe Rashab, Rav Shulam Be'er Shneerson, who was Nifta in 1920. Rav Shulam Be'er Shneerson was the fifth in the dynasty of Lubavitcher Rebbes. Now, he designed the mikveh, the Rashab, that was claimed to overcome the problem of Nokel Sur and Nosen Sur, whereby the tefillah would cause the Hashukah, the water would go in and interchange, and you'd have the problem that you'd end up with less than a majority of rainwater in the Boy Geshumen. Now, the way he overcome this problem was that instead of having the Boy Hashukah alongside, he put it underneath. So he constructed a deep pit that could contain at least 80 saw of water, and first 40 saw of rainwater was allowed into the boyer. Then a board, which later on became fiberglass, was put across. A very sturdy, you can build boats out of fiberglass, it's a very strong material, and it's waterproof. And he put that across to make a floor. Two holes were put in the fiberglass, not a shoferet anoid of 1.5 to 3 inches, but they were made a tefach, and much has been written as to why he wanted it to be a tefach, but let's leave that aside. He made two holes of a tefach. The reason for two holes is that because the person who's tabling is going to stand on this board to make absolutely sure that a foot is not covering the hole, there were two holes to back up in case the foot is covering one of the holes, then you've got the other hole. And then the tap water was put on top of that. Now, the reason for that was that physics dictates that cold water falls and warm water rises. So the tendency would be for the warm water to stay on top and not to interchange with the cold water that's below. So the design was in order to satisfy the Shittas Haraivet of Nortel Sur and Nortel Sur. The Chazon Ish was very against this whole idea of Boyer al Gabba Boyer. He held that the water will interchange, and there were other kashas on this as well. Some had a kasha that this is called kataphras. Kataphras briefly means that when the two waters meet, they mustn't meet on a slope. It must be straight. A slopey connection is not a kosher connection. That originates in the Mishnah. So the question was, is this up-down situation considered a smoky situation or not? Some Tana that not only it's not considered a smoky situation, but here there's no connection. It's not a connected mikveh at all. It's basically one mikveh. You're not connecting two. It's one mikveh and one boyer. And there was a great debate at the time about this. The Chazon Ish didn't want this. However, nowadays, there are many mikvehs that are still using this system. And for instance, Dayan Weiss built in the late 1950s a very famous mikveh in Manchester, which he writes up in the Tshuva, and he says that this is probably the most mehudadik mikveh that one can achieve. And he used this boiler gabba boyer. However, he went one step further, and he didn't use the boiler gabba boyer that the person stands on the board with the rainwater underneath. But he backed up his hashukah on the side with another boiler underneath. So it was similar to the hashukah where the hashukah is alongside the mikveh. However, the hashukah itself, in case you were worried that the water was going to interchange, he backed that up with another boiler underneath. So you had one alongside and one underneath the one alongside. And he actually, when he did it, he did with his Zriya exactly the same thing. Because he built on the other side Zriya, and in case there would be any problem with his Zriya, he backed that up also with another Boyer Megishuran underneath. So both the Zriya and the Hashukra on either side were backed up by two other Boyers underneath them. Moshe Feinstein in Igus Moshe says that there's no doubt that whichever type you use, the mikveh is kosher. He says that nobody can argue with that. The shaila is only which is the best method in order to satisfy even a das yochid. That's the argument. But whichever type of mikveh it is certainly kosher. That is the hemshem which is very to the public in Molorot, Hashem, to Maim, Yam Nechasim, Mehayim, Meni, Omen.